And so let's turn to Philemon this morning. We come to verse 20 today. Paul writes, "Yes, my brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord, because I have confidence in your obedience. I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say or ask. But in the meantime, prepare a guest room for me, because I trust that through your prayers, I will be granted unto you." And so we know that last Lord's Day, several motivating reasons that the Apostle Paul had that he presents to Philemon, asking and begging, if you will, that he would receive back to him his runaway slave named Onesimus. But now here in verse 20, Paul gives a personal reason from himself, not about Onesimus, but about himself, why he's asking Philemon to do this. Because you see, if Philemon would do as God demands and wants in his word, as God asks of all believers to do, if Philemon would do this, it would bring great joy to the heart of the Apostle Paul to know that he's not only responding to Paul as the aged apostle. Remember earlier in this letter, Paul says, "I am the aged, the older one, the one that has spent my life in ministry to the Lord." It would bring joy to Paul's heart, not only because of that, but because Philemon is doing it for the Lord. As you read the epistle of 1 John, and 2 John and 3 John, John writes as a pastor. And at the time that John wrote that, he was about 90 years old. He was the only and probably the oldest living apostle at the time. And he says, "It brings my heart great joy to see that my children are walking in the truth, in the word." And this is what Paul is calling Philemon to obedience to God and to God's word. The second thing is his heart would not only be full of joy. Those of us that have children, grandchildren, those of us that will have children, you will learn real soon that the greatest joy in your life is when you instruct your children in a godly way based on scripture that they obey. It is something that refreshes your heart, and until you experience it, you can't really understand what it's like. But when you see that, your heart just gets filled with joy. A refreshment and a contentment in the Lord to know that literally your children are obeying you as they would obey the Lord. Remember, Paul already wrote to Philemon that Philemon and Paul in his prayers, and Paul again brings up the subject of prayer here in these verses, but Paul in his prayer thanked God for the reputation that Philemon had. And Philemon had a spiritual gift of helping people. He would refresh the hearts of weary travelers as they would stop in his house to find rest and find Christian fellowship there with the brothers and sisters of the church that met in Philemon's house. And Paul here personally puts himself in that same position and says, "Philemon, my brother, bring joy to my heart, refresh my heart too, and do this." Paul does not say this. But the context is Philemon, if you don't do this, you will not only bring disappointment to the Lord Jesus Christ, but you will bring disappointment and lack of joy and lack of refreshment to my heart. "But I'm confident," Paul says. "I know your reputation. The whole city knows your reputation." And not only the whole city. The whole city knows that the church meets into your house. Remember, this letter was supposed to be read to the church. And the whole church together was supposed to decide what would happen with this runaway slave. How would Philemon act and how would the church act? You know, we're just a small group of Christians here today. But I want you to know that the Russian community that surrounds us, they know our church and they know about our church. And they know a lot of details about each of our individual lives. And my question today is, what kind of reputation do you have personally? And what kind of reputation does our church have in the community where they are? You know, the church even knows, or the community around us knows, how we treat each other. If a brother sins and he repents, Is he restored to fellowship?
The community knows.
The neighbors know. Sometimes we don't know, but they know. The whole church was looking on Philemon. He was a rich man in the city. There were many rich people in this city. And they all knew each other. And I'm sure the newspaper that morning had said that Philemon's slave ran away. Everybody knew about it. Paul says, I have no doubts. I am confident. I know you're not only going to submit to my request, you're going to submit to what the Lord asks of you. You're going to do much more than that. You're going to receive, you're going to forgive, you're going to restore, and you will appoint, perhaps, Onesimus to serve side by side for you in the church. Paul was confident that Philemon would go beyond his reputation. Are you like that? Is every act and every deed and every day in your life more and greater and deeper in the ministry than it was yesterday? Do you have a reputation of forgiveness for those people that have wronged you? Do you have a reputation of forgiving a financial debt to people that owe it to you? Do you have a reputation for forgiving the brother or the sister or your neighbor maybe that has done something wrong to you like Philemon did? Are you known to obey the word of God that your pastors teach to you? Paul was confident of Philemon. As pastors, it brings great joy to our hearts to see us teach the word and then to see the church follow through and obey. And then in verse 22, Paul says, I'm not just confident, he says, but in the meantime, I have another confidence. And I have another trust and another desire. And I have something to ask you personally. Don't just give me joy in my heart and refresh my heart, but I know you're praying for me. I know the church is praying for me. I'm praying for me. And I'm confident that God will release me from jail. And when he does, according to your prayers. See, he's raising everything now up to a spiritual level. He says, I know you have been praying for God to release me. And when God does, I'd like to come and spend some time with you. I'm tired physically, as I've already written in my letter. I'm a little bit tired spiritually from all the work among the churches that I've been doing. Philemon, I'd like to come and spend some time with you and with the church that meets in your house. Can you prepare a room for me? And immediately, I hope you are remembering John chapter 14 where Jesus said, I will go and I will prepare a place for you so that you can come and be with me. And Paul is appealing to Philemon. And this word in the Greek language does not mean take one of your extra bedrooms in your house and prepare it for me. What Paul is saying, remember last Sunday we talked about the fact that Paul wrote in his own hand, he wrote to Philemon, I owe you what Onesimus owes you. Paul had some resources, some personal resources of him. And what this means in the Greek language is Paul says, find a room either in your house or in somebody's house or in the hotel or whatever the environment was. Book it. Make a reservation for me. That's what this text means. Make a reservation for me, but I will pay for it. Not you, Philemon. I won't put a burden on you other than what I've already asked you. Because I am confident that God will answer your prayers and the prayers of the church. And I will be granted unto you. Now, we don't know what happened with Paul after this. As we read the Acts of the Apostles, and as we read Philemon, and as we read Timothy, Paul's imprisonment has two different categories. Right now, Paul was what we would call under house of rest, house arrest. He was confined to this house. He could not leave, but he wasn't in the actual prison in Rome that he was later on as we read 2 Timothy. When it says that everybody is gone, only Luke is with him now. At this point, he had visitors, as we will see next time. He sends greetings or privieti in verse 23 from some of the fellow people that are in this house with him, living with him, suffering together with him for the Lord. So we don't really know, but it would appear that as he's writing this letter, that he was actually released. And we don't know, but perhaps he actually came and spent some time with Philemon and in the church at Colossae, and he had some fellowship, and he taught the word again in that church. We really are not sure. We do know that eventually he was beheaded for his faith very shortly after the time when Nero became Caesar. Secondly, no more mention of Onesimus here in this letter. It's done. It's past. Scripture doesn't tell us anything about Onesimus, but history does. If you read your history books, if you read the history of the Catholic Church and you read the history of the Eastern Orthodox Church, there's a Saint Onesimus there listed. He became the bishop of the church in Ephesus. Remember who was the founding pastor of the church at Ephesus? It was none other than Paul. Timothy became the pastor there. And upon Timothy's death, tradition, this is not in Scripture, tells us that Onesimus became the pastor and the bishop of the church in Ephesus. We don't know that for a fact. But it would appear, as we read these stories in a historical context outside of Scripture, that God did this in the life of Philemon and Paul and Onesimus. And he was a faithful man. And eventually was also martyred for the Lord. Tradition says that he was stoned to death. And then to add insult to injury, after he was stoned to death, he was actually, his body was mutilated and he was beheaded. And it says that a godly woman, very much like Nicodemus and Joseph Arimathea, after the death of Jesus, they provided a burial place for Jesus. It says this rich woman, she took the body of Onesimus and apparently buried it in a silver tomb or a silver casket. And we don't know, this is simply tradition. But we see the appeal of Paul that reminds us of the redemptive work of Jesus Christ on our behalf as he presents himself as a sacrifice to the Father to cover our sins. And now he becomes our advocate with the Father, 1 John says. If we sin, and if we confess our sins, God, through Jesus Christ being faithful and just, forgives us our sins, pays the debt that Jesus paid on the cross with his life, and restores us to fellowship with God. And he's gone to prepare a place for us now. One day he will come and receive us to be with him forevermore. Next time, God willing, we'll look at some of these other people that are mentioned in verse 23 and the concluding prayer that Paul prays here in the short epistle. Amen.